Thank you. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Mark chapter 11 in your Bible. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 11 in the Word of God. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that's an abomination. All right. Thank you. Mark chapter number 11 in your Bible, please. Mark chapter number 11 in your Bible. All right. Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Very good. Very good. You guys are, appreciate it. We're getting ready to open the Word of God here. And we have these gentlemen wearing Green Bay Packers jerseys. That is an abomination. That's what that is. So I understand that there's been some, I love you too, thank you. I understand that there's been some matchmaking going on here in College Chapel. Where are my Green Bay? Why don't you guys stand up for me? Green Bay. Do we have any men that would like to take these ladies out on a date? No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. That's terrible. That is terrible. Look at. They're still standing, waiting. Look at them. You can be seated. Thank you so much. What an obedient crowd here at Hiles Anderson. And boy, the chapel's beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful. And wonderful, wonderful. Love you too. All right. Is that Justin Potter that said that? Justin. Take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11. And leave your Bibles open. We're going to be there, and we're going to be in several other passages. Just truth of the matter is, I was driving through the night last night, coming from Washington, Illinois, and thinking about this morning's chapel. And the Lord just placed a thought on my heart. And after hearing the song, the choir sung, it just fits together so well. Thank you, choir, for singing. I love just the music, obviously, was wonderful. But I love looking into the crowd and knowing many of the students. And I know this is not a perfect place, but so many of you have a heart for God. And I want to thank you for that. And I hope you never lose that. And just your servants and God has a wonderful future for you, and again, I know so many of you, and I've worked with so many of you, and it's just a blessing for me to be here. I love this place. This is not a college promotion. I never look at anything like that. You go where the Lord wants you to go, but I love this place. For 13 years, I left home, and the south side of Chicago, not First Baptist, but Jordan Baptist Church in the south side of Chicago. I was reached through the bus ministry there, and I left home after I graduated from this place, and I served in West Virginia, in Parkersburg, West Virginia. And some of the best years of my life were there with Pastor Lamb and at Landmark Baptist Church. And I just love that place, love the state and the people there. But God saw fit to bring me back, and I'm so glad that I could serve just a small part with Pastor Wilkerson, who I wish were here today. He's a hero of mine, and just I just love him. I love him, and to be able to work with him, and then to be able to be here at Hiles Anderson College, and occasionally preach the Bible to you, it's a privilege. And I have a simple thought. We don't have a ton of time. I have a simple thought for you, but I think it's a relevant thought for our day. And so we're in Mark chapter number 11. Jesus has had quite a day. He's cast the money changers out of the temple. The Bible says that in verse number 20 of Mark chapter number 11, And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. I want you to look at the next three words. The Bible says, and Jesus, say that next word out loud with me, and Jesus. You know, we live in a world of questions. I don't know that there's ever been a time where society has been so filled with questions. I was driving to Washington, Illinois yesterday, and it's a 2.5-hour drive. I was listening to some things, and a man came across the radio, and he was talking about the anxiety in our day, the uptick of anxiety and depression, and he threw a stat out there, and he said that since 2010, in the ages of 15 to 29, suicide is up 33% since 2010. And I know that our world is looking for answers. We live in a time of uncertainty, fears of the economy, inflation, gas prices. We live in a time where there's thoughts of war, Russia and Ukraine, and we're even now starting to hear the word, if you pay attention to the news at all, we're even now starting to hear the word nuclear and things going on in that direction, possibly. Civil unrest. Of course, since 2020, it just seems like our whole world has been turned upside down. And riots and protests and cancel culture and moral confusion. Or it seems like our nation just is calling good evil and evil good. Preachers that I know and love and respect are making statements like this, Brother Judah, and I've heard it more than once, Brother Judah, I never have seen it like this before. Or they'll say things like, Brother Judah, I never thought in our lifetime that we would see it like this in our country. People are looking for answers. The latest influencers claim to have answers. Every 4 years, our country focuses on politicians who stand and give flowery speeches with all the answers. But the problem is, it seems like every 4 years, I hear those same speeches again and again and again and again. It's like what they say never does quite seem to come to pass. Influencers, pundits, politicians may or may not have answers worth listening to, but here's one thing that I know. I know that when Jesus speaks and gives an answer, that's something that I want to hear. In Mark chapter number 11, he's giving an answer. And I believe this, the answer that he gives in Mark chapter number 11 is an answer that seems to fit for every nation, every problem, every people, and in every generation. Jesus spoke this answer of simplicity 2,000 years ago, but today it is the very answer to all of the problems that we have just faced, that I have just outlined, and the many more that we could talk about. Look at what he says in Mark chapter number 11, verse number 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. And so the answer for the questions of 2022 is very simply this, Hiles Anderson College, have faith in God. What America needs to do is have faith in God. What our college needs is faith in God. What I need as a preacher is faith in God. What you need as a college student, you need to have faith in God. Jesus spoke of faith. He spoke of childlike, simple faith. In Ephesians chapter 6, it describes a shield of faith. I love what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, where it is spoken of a victorious faith. The Bible says this, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You see, we may live in a dark day, and it may seem for a moment that the church has become the punching bag of the world, but my friends, we should have faith in God. Have faith in God. Jesus asked the piercing question in Luke chapter number 18 when he said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Faith in God is the answer. Hiles Anderson, faith in God is the answer. You say, Brother Judah, what's the question? Doesn't matter what the question is. Faith in God is the answer. Abraham, I want you to get up and go to a land that you know not of, that I'll tell thee. Have faith in God, Abraham. Moses, it's time to stand before Pharaoh, and you may not feel talented. You may not have the ability. Pharaoh may not want to listen, but Moses, have faith in God. Joshua, you're peering across at Jericho, and it's a walled city, and it's an impossibility, but Joshua, have faith in God. And teenager, whatever your circumstances today, have faith in God. I love the little poem. Got any rivers that seem uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? I know a God that specializes in the impossible. He knows 1,000 ways to take care of you. Have faith in God. That's the answer. When I think about faith, my mind immediately goes to Hebrews chapter number 11. And I want you to turn there in Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll read some verses and give you some thoughts about faith in God. Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless chapel this morning. It's been so good already to sing your songs, to hear from our pastor, to listen to the choir, and now to open the wonderful word of God. I pray that you would bless the message. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith in this day in which we're living. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith in God. What is faith, Brother Judah? How can a Christian have faith? Absolutely, I understand that it's faith that can move mountains. I understand that faith in God is the answer. I understand that we need to have more faith. But what is faith? What is the belief that every Christian in this room needs to have? I want to give you some simple thoughts. I'm looking at the outline, very simple, but I'll give them to you quickly. Faith in God, number one, according to verse number 6, faith in God is a belief that God is. God is. The Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to believe, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. My friends, we need to believe again that God is. That God is present in this hour. That God is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent everywhere. That God is in control. That God is right. Shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? That God is love. That God is patient. That God is just. We just need to believe again, even in Bible college, that God is. God is. And that is faith. Let me tell you something about the presence of God. The very fact that God is, that's good news for some, that's bad news for others. Hey, if you're sitting here today doing the best that you can and you seem like nobody understands, hey, God is. He can see you. He knows you. He understands you. He created you. He's not forgotten you. God is. Have faith in God. you're here this morning and you're running from the Lord, you say, I'm in Bible college, Brother Judah. How could I be running from God? There have been all kinds of people in Bible college that looked right on the outside, but in the inside, they were running from God. Let me say something to you, friend. If that's you, I want you to understand something. You may have forgotten about God, but God has not forgotten about you. God is. You get to the end of the line, God is there. And that is faith, understanding and believing that God is God. And faith, they're not just something to be talked about on Sundays and forgotten on Monday. The bottom line is God is. And when you allow that thought to live with you, it'll change the way that you think. It'll change the way that you behave. It'll change the words that come out of your mouth. It'll change your whole value system when you understand that there is a God in heaven and that God is. Years ago, and it's been 15 years ago now, probably closer to 20 years ago now, I was sitting at a youth conference. It was so long ago, they were just putting the screens up. I mean, it was novel to have the screens. I mean, it was so long ago. And I was sitting at a youth conference, our youth conference. I was a delegate from West Virginia. May have been the first youth conference that I came as a youth pastor, brought a group of teenagers to, and I'll never forget the session when they stood up and they talked about this new thing that was taking over the internet. I'll never forget the session when they showed just clips on the screen of something called the Blasphemy Challenge. Just a bunch of young people, your age, in some cases younger, misunderstanding the verse about the unpardonable sin and foolishly taking their phones or whatever video device they had at the time and videotaping themselves, committing what they thought was the unpardonable sin in ignorance. But my attention was arrested when I saw young people very callously, very flippantly say things like this on video, posting it online. Things like, well, if there is a Holy Spirit, I blaspheme him, and I guess if that's going to send me to hell, then that's going to send me to hell. Ha, ha, ha. And then the next one, my name is Paul, and I'm taking the blasphemy challenge, and ha, ha, ha. And just clip after clip after clip after clip. And Brother King, my heart was broken as I thought about those young people that are so foolish, those young people that have believed a lie of the devil. Let me tell you something though, my friend. Doesn't matter what you post online. Doesn't matter how many times you take whatever challenge. Doesn't matter what you think. There is a very present truth, and that is this. God is. He's a reality. We need to understand that again today in 2022 in America. God is. There's a second element to faith that I think is important. It's not only believing that God is, but it's believing the simple truth that God can. I love that thought that God can. If you go to Psalm chapter 78, verses 17 through 19, there is a foolish question that was asked. Verse number 19, they spake against God. Psalm 78, 19, and they said this. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? I like what Harold Seitler said when he preached on this passage. He said they asked the question, but it was the wrong question. And he took those little two words, can God, and he said they ought to reverse it and they ought to say, God can. You see, my friend, faith is not only believing that God is, but faith is believing that God can. God can. Here it is. Who can fix the problems? God can. Who can meet your need? God can. Who can fill the church? God can. Who can heal the hurt? God can. Who can bring the prodigal back home? God can. Hey, do you have faith? Who can help your little brother and sister back home struggling right now? God can. Who can fix a marriage? God can. Who can save your lost loved one? God can. Man, I've got a dad that's lost, and I've prayed for him, and thousands are praying for him, and every now and again, the devil gets in there with that dart of discouragement, telling me it's never going to happen. But I need to remind myself, there's a God in heaven, and God can. Hey, when man can't, God can. Years ago, when I got saved, I had an instant desire to see my family get saved. I wanted everybody to be born again. And man, I was the typical bus kid, 14 years old. I started preaching sermons to my whole family about the end of the world and trying to scare them into heaven. And I could remember all of that. And several of the family members got saved. But my grandfather, my mother's father, a good man, boy, he just rejected the gospel. He was a World War II veteran of the Navy. Fought in the South Pacific, he served there and came back after the war and built his own house with his hands and his neighbors' homes and was a decent man and an honest man and a hardworking man. I can remember going to Grandpa Dell and trying to witness to him and he wouldn't listen. I can remember even as a college student having that burden for my grandfather to get saved, sending several of the soul-winning staff here, people, teachers that I thought maybe could talk to my grandfather, giving him the address, and none of them. He wouldn't witness to any of them. He wouldn't listen to any of them. Carl Hatch, a great soul winner. Carl Hatch, Mr. Soul Winner. I mean, Carl Hatch witnessed to everybody and everything, and I mean, he was filled with the Spirit of God and a wonderful soul. I sent Carl Hatch by my grandfather's house. And I can remember praying that Grandpa would get saved and wouldn't listen to Carl Hatch. No matter who was witnessing to him, as soon as they got into the gospel, Grandpa would just look off into the distance. Sometimes he'd say, yeah, my grandson believes all that and he's doing all that. He would just put up a wall. My wife and I got married, and my grandpa needed help moving. He was retiring. He was moving from Orland Park, Illinois, up to Washington Island, Wisconsin. And I thought, man, this is the chance. This is the opportunity. This is a chance for my grandpa to get saved. It's going to happen right here. My wife, born and raised in church, and, you know, she just has a purity about her. And my grandfather recognized it instantly, and he was always on his best behavior when my wife was around. And he wouldn't cuss. He would always watch it himself, you know. He's on his best behavior. And I thought, we're going to have an opportunity here to witness to Grandpa. This is going to be great. We followed him up to Washington Island. You had to take a ferry across the Lake Michigan there to get to the island. And that was our opportunity. I was praying. Minda was praying that God would give an opportunity for us to have some one-on-one time. And here we found ourselves in a U-Haul, a truck, and just us and Grandpa waiting for the ferry to come across Lake Michigan. I thought, this is it. I pulled out my New Testament. I began to witness to my grandpa and tell him what Jesus had done in my life. I began to show him the Romans road, how we're all sinners, and Grandpa was on his best behavior. He was listening. He didn't want to say anything or do anything that would offend my new wife. I showed him Romans 6:23, how there's a place called hell, how we're all deserving of it. I showed him Romans 5:8, how Jesus is the Son of God and how he loves us and gave his life on a cross for all of us and whosoever believeth in him. I showed him all of it and got to Romans 10:13. And as I got to Romans 10:13, trapped there in that U-Haul, Grandpa just began to stare out the window. He didn't say anything. He didn't tell me to stop. He didn't get upset or curse. Just stared out the window. As he stared out the window, I began to cry. My wife began to cry. And I said, Grandpa, are you listening? And he just stared out the window. I remember shutting my Bible and waiting for that ferry to come in silence. We moved my grandpa onto the Washington Island. A couple of months went by. We had prayed for Grandpa's salvation. I'm not going to say that we prayed every night, but we prayed often. It's a new couple praying for my grandfather. And I got to be honest with you. There was a big part of me that thought, Brother Mitchell, you know, Brother Smith couldn't lead him to Christ, and my pastor couldn't lead him to Christ, and Carl Hatch couldn't lead him to Christ, and man, we had a perfect opportunity there. My wife was there. He was on his best behavior. He wouldn't listen to the gospel. There was a big part of me, even as Minda and I would kneel and pray for Grandpa's salvation, there was a part of me saying, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. I'll never forget the call that came into my work, USF distribution, on a Monday night, or on a Monday afternoon. My supervisor called me and said, Abdel, there's a call for you. And I grabbed the phone and I heard, Abdel, yes, this is Grandpa. And he was just rough and old school. He said, this is Grandpa. I said, Grandpa? He said, remember that stuff you were talking to me about a couple months ago? I said, yeah. He said, yeah, well, real short. He said, yeah, well, I'm ready now. He said, come on up, can you get to the island? Come on up, I'm ready now. I said, absolutely, I'll get up there. I hung up the phone, told my boss, hey, see you in a couple of days. Man, we got in the car, we hauled as fast as we could to Washington Island, got across that ferry, went to his house. My grandpa had gotten remarried, and I didn't know what kind of lady she was. He was 80-some years old, whatever. And so he got remarried, and I told my wife, I said, you occupy her, keep her busy, you know. I got all kinds of thoughts going through, but put Wheel of Fortune on, just put her to sleep. No, but I said, occupy. And my grandpa was in the backyard. I remember walking back to the backyard, and I had my Bible. I said, Grandpa, are you really ready? He said, I'm ready. Man, I showed him the same verses, and I said, Grandpa, would you like to receive Christ? He said, yes, I would. He bowed his head. He got saved, born again, and then he looked at me, and he said, what's next? I said, you need to get baptized. He said, where? I said, a church. He said, the only church on the island is a Catholic church. I said, okay. Well, I said, okay. Something says I shouldn't do that. And he said, hey, he said, there's a swimming pool at the YMCA. I said, that'll work, man. That'll work. We went to the YMCA. Grandpa came out. Speedos, no shame. And Grandpa came out. I said, Grandpa, hey, and watch this. Honestly, I mean, I'm there, I'm in the water, he's in the water, people are on the other end of the pool, you know, kind of looking at us, and I said, Grandpa, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to save sinners? Yep, yes, I do, I already said it, didn't I? Man, he went down in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, came back up, he was so excited, and for the rest of his days, he went to church. There was one other church on the island, a little evangelical church, and he became a faithful member of that church. Years ago, he passed away, and he's in heaven right now, listening to his grandson preach. Hey, have faith in God. God can. God is. God can. I don't know what your situation is. Hey, college student, I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on in your world. I don't know what's going on at your job. I don't know what's going on at back home, at your home church, with your friends, but here's what I know. We need to have faith in God, a God that is and a God that can. Not only that, God is, God can, and I love this, and we'll end with this. God will, look at verse number 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God will. God can do it. God wants to reward those that will diligently see. You say, Brother Jude, it's such a simple message. It is. Faith is such a simple subject. You just need to believe that God is, that God can, and that God will. You say, Brother Jude, I do believe that a little bit. Then believe it more and ask God to increase your faith. That's what this old world needs, my friend. We need some young people with the call of God on their lives that'll leave this place with a belief in their heart that there's still a God in heaven who is, who can, and who will. I can remember my very first school camp here, Hammond Baptist. I was reminded of it the other day. You go to my office at the church, there's an iPad case there. And there's an iPad. And it's folded in half. The IT people here, Brother House, Brother Ruck, they call it the iTaco. It is folded in half. I keep it on the shelf in my office at the church. So why do you keep that broken iPad in your office? One of the men that works with me asked me the other day, what is that? Why is that there? So let me tell you the story behind the iTaco. So it was my first school camp. I was a brand new youth pastor here at First Baptist. I don't even think the kids liked me yet, but it was inevitable. But I said, it was my first school camp. I said, I had planned everything on the iPad, all of it. It was all on the, every game, every song, every activity, all of it. All the questions for the invite, it was all on my iPad. felt so professional, put together. The iPad, Apple won't let you down. And we were unloading the bus. We arrived at the camp. We were unloading the bus. And as we were unloading the bus, I took my bag and I placed it in front of the bus and helped with unloading. And then the driver took off. And when he took off, he ran right over my bag. My Bible was fine. All right, it really was. Yeah. Come on now. But in the moment, I really wanted my iPad to be working, all right? And it was folded in half. And when I saw that, I thought to myself, oh my goodness. There's my youth group. This is my first camp. I want to make a good impression. And I've got all these games and all these score sheets and all these plans and all this stuff. And it's all on the iPad. And I'm looking at it, it's folded in half. It is broken. It's gone. And I think, now that I'm telling the story, I think Brother Jerry Oswardi is the one that rolled over it. So I couldn't even get mad at him because he's such a nice guy. And in defeat, walking from, those of you who have been to Indian Creek, walking from the cafeteria to the tabernacle with my head down across the field, trying to remember everything that I had stored on that iPad, I said this. I said, Lord, you know what needs to happen this week. Man, I'm sorry. I said, Lord, you know what needs to happen this week. And I've got a lot of things on this iPad. But Lord, if you'll show up and if you'll do your work, I'm going to keep this iPad. I'll put it someplace where I'll never forget that I don't need it. I just need you. I said, and if we don't have a good week, I'll throw it away and never tell the illustration. You know what I found out that week? Hey, not for the first time, but again, God will. God will. Have faith in God. What's the answer, Brother Judah? Have faith in God. What's the answer on my bus route, Brother Judah? Have faith in God. What's the answer, my little brother and sister? Have faith in God. What's the answer for my future, Brother Judah? Have faith in God. It's the answer to all of the questions. A belief, can we have at Hiles Anderson College again, can we have an overriding belief that God is? The world wants to doubt him, but God is. Can we believe that God can? Then can we have the faith to believe that he will reward those that diligently seek him? Hey, after this message, all I can think of is what the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. I believe it. But I need to believe it more. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? Have faith in God. I wonder who would come today simply saying, I need to have more faith in God. Faith in God. Oh, my friends, we err when we have faith in men. And I love our country, and I pray for the elections, but we're not to have faith in politicians. This old world needs some Christians that'll have faith in God. Some of you young men are going to go to the docks tonight. You're going to go to Estes. Going to go to wherever it is that you work. Let me tell you what those guys there need. They need some men who show up to work that have faith in God. Belief that God is, that God can, that God will. Some of you seniors are getting ready to graduate and you'll go take positions all across this country and in some cases all around the world. Let me tell you what that church needs, what those people needs, what the lost in that community need. They need a preacher who shows up with some faith in God. Lord, increase our faith.